What's up? Man, I'm excited to be here with you guys tonight. My son asked me, he was like, "Dad, where are you going?" I was like, "To Reckless." He was like, "What is Reckless?" I was like, "It's these cool kids at West Ridge." And he was like, "Yeah." He started milli rocking, and I was like, okay. But I'm excited to be with you guys. Pastor Ty emailed me a couple weeks ago and was like, "Yo, like, I want you to come out and hang out with our young people here at West Ridge." And I was like, "Oh, for sure. I'm coming to hang out with the young people because I believe that young people are literally the leaders and the future of our world." And I just want to take this time to celebrate Pastor Todd and the leadership team right now. Could we do that? Yeah. People give their lives every single week to God first to serve you guys. And I'm just in awe of the ministry here in Reckless and what he's doing and leading with you guys. I want to pray before I get started and move right along. You ready? Let's pray. God, be with my words tonight. Help us to see how you would like us to rise above discontentment. And give us your heart. Allow us to grow in you so that you would ultimately get the glory. It is in Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. And the church said amen. If I could bring up the first picture. When you look at this picture is literally a real picture. I want you to just gaze at it for a moment. This man is literally sleeping in the heart of the city on the ground. Just a few feet from him in his resting place is a church. And when I snapped this picture, there had to be several hundred people to walk by this man. And many times people often ask me, they're like, "Terrence, like, why do you have a heart for the poor? Where does this passion come from?" And I reflect in my own life when I was 16 years old. I didn't have many of the privileges that you guys have today. I was experiencing homelessness at the age of 16, living literally out of the trunk of my car because I ran away from home because me and my mom were in odds with one another. I didn't have a dad in the house at that moment. And literally Jesus came into my life, literally wrecked my world, provided the grace of God for me to have a relationship with my Father in heaven, rescue me from my sin, set me on solid ground, and literally change the course and change the internal being of my heart, change my world, and literally set me on a trajectory where I can literally stand here tonight and speak to you. And I remind myself often of how far I've come, and how God has brought me and delivered me from all of the destruction and the dysfunction that I could have experienced in my life. And when I look at people who are literally poor and living on the streets, just like this man, I think about what God has to say about this. When I read Jesus' words found in Matthew, man, I stand in awe of Jesus because there's this passage in Matthew chapter 9 where it says he would literally see people who were broken, who were weary, who were scattered, like people having no shepherd, and he would be moved with compassion. Like Jesus would literally walk this earth and see people in their brokenness and see people down and out, broke, busted, and disgusted, and he would see that and look at them and not look at them with shame, not look at them with guilt, not look at them with disgrace, but he will see them in their brokenness and be moved with compassion. And that fires me up because every time I think about my life and what God has done for me, how he saw me on the side of the road of life in my shame, in my guilt, in my stresses of life, in all of my dysfunction because my family is not perfect. He saw me in all of that, in my sin, and yet he was still moved with compassion. So every time I see somebody who is poor, who is broke, who is literally living on the street, I start to think about how can I follow my Savior Jesus Christ and have that same heart towards them? How can I see the poor and have the same heart toward them that God had toward me. And I start to think about the 46 million people in this world who literally live in extreme poverty. I think about the 100 million people who are literally working every single week, day in, day out, 40, 50 hours a week. But yet at the end of the month, they still don't have enough to make it. I think about the fastest growing population of homeless people, which are children under the age of 9. I think about people who go to bed every single night who are literally starving. Did you guys know that we waste billions of pounds of food? Like literally, if you've ever gone out to a restaurant with your family and you went to Longhorns and you got your favorite meal, like literally, if you would just stop and pause and look all around, you would literally see how much food literally goes to the trash. And we are so wasteful that could be used to feed people. And I started thinking about homeless people who don't have a place to shower, and poor people who struggle for basic needs, and the elderly people that we sometimes serve that come to our offices, literally walking 7 miles just for a bag of groceries. Doesn't that do something to you? Well, it does to me. And so much so that I was like, man, like I got to do something, not to bring myself glory, but to literally take off my shoes of comfort, like literally strip myself of my privileges so people could have a clear lens of people who literally sleep like that every single week on the side of the street. Like, these are my views every single week. And I'm like, man, I gotta walk to bring attention to this, because this is what God cares about. And so I asked my wife, I was like, would you mind if I walk from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way to Memphis, Tennessee, through 4 states to bring attention to people who are voiceless? And she said, yeah. And I started in downtown Atlanta, if you'll see this next picture. And there were a big crowd. People came out. They were cheering, and everybody was all excited. And then immediately on the second day, literally, as I started to walk step by step toward Memphis, Tennessee, to bring attention to poverty in this country, people started to join the way. And the very next day, I saw this guy sleeping on a bench. And I engaged him, because this is what I'm walking for. I'm literally walking, and I see this guy sleeping on the bench, and I say, hey, man, what's your name? He tells me his name. He tells me his story. Tells me he literally has nowhere to stay. And it broke my heart, because right behind him, the building that is right behind him is abandoned. Here it is. We live in a country where we have immense wealth, where we have all access to all of these privileges and resources, but literally this man is sleeping on the park bench, and literally the solution to his homelessness is behind him, and nobody has done nothing, and this building has been sitting for 15 plus years, and the solution to his homelessness is right behind him. And it broke my heart even more. The more I saw weary and scattered people, I wanted to just love them and be moved with compassion toward them, just like Jesus was moved to compassion toward me. And then I meet Chris the very next day. I was walking. It's day 3. I made it all the way out to Veterans Memorial. And I'm literally walking, and I see this guy named Chris, and we bump into each other, and he's a homeless guy, and he served our country. He's a homeless veteran. And literally, I said, Chris, man, what's your story? He tells me, and he literally, you know what he tells me? It breaks my heart, guys. He literally tells me, man, I have been praying for food for 2 days. And I go, man, like, how does this happen? How do we have all of this wealth in our society, in our culture, and literally we have every access to every single thing to solve all of the solutions and the ills that we see that plague the people's lives, and this guy is praying for food. How does this happen? I said, Chris, man, we're gonna love on you, man. We're gonna sit with you, and we sat with him, and literally I shared his story, and Chris was able to get an interview at the VA the very next day, and Chris is no longer on the streets. Let's celebrate God. This is Chris's story. And so I walked through Paulding County and Hiram, and I had members from West Ridge come and join me on this walk. And I started to notice many abandoned buildings. And literally, guys, I literally counted over 1,300 abandoned buildings and homes all around our cities and in our country. And I started to say, man, like, how do we view wealth? Like, literally, when we think about wealth in this country, like, the cultural view of wealth is literally, like, people view wealth as a tool to just, like, serve their personal desires and their own selfish passions. Like, literally, like, you'll see the disparities of people who are living in lap in luxury, and then in the trenches, I saw the poor, the people who didn't have running water or power. And I was just moved with compassion. But then I started to study, like, literally, this biblical view of wealth. Did you know, like, literally in out throughout the whole Bible, like, wealth is just a benefit of people having a relationship with God. Like, even in the New Testament, it's not about physical money. Like, Jesus came to earth for our spiritual poverty so we could be connected to our Father who is in heaven. And literally, this biblical idea of wealth, it has to deal with God giving us wealth and resources as a tool to serve his passions, to literally maintain our well-being, but also to serve his passions of what he's literally doing in this world. And so I started to Google this word wealth. And these are the pictures that came up when I Googled wealth. There were pictures of, like, a car. If you'll go to that picture. It was pictures of cars. And the next picture, it's like more cars. And the next picture, it's like boats. And the next picture was like fashion. And I started to say, man, like, we as the body of Christ literally have the opportunity to redefine how we steward our wealth, how we represent Christ in the earth. Because, like, there are many challenges when it comes to dealing with wealth the wrong way. And the first thing is this, like, people literally start to identify who they are, their worth, their value, their identity in wealth. And Jesus warns against this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, man, like, wherever your treasure's ears, there, that's where your heart will be also. And if you place your treasure in the things that you're trying to acquire, if you place your treasure in these external things, then that's where your heart is going to be. And guess what? If your heart is in things that are material, literally, they have an opportunity to fail you. But how many of you know that we serve a God that if we place our treasure in eternal things, that God will never fail us? That he will always be there. He will always be there. He will always be there. He will be there whenever we need him. And we have to redefine how we see the wealth that we have in our lives. People also think that if they can acquire wealth, that they can control their own lives. And how many of us know people right now that are on a selfish pursuit, trying to pursue things, trying to acquire more, trying to get more status, more fame, and boost themselves up? And literally, they think that if they could just get more, guys, that if I could get more and forget the people who are literally living in poverty, if I could get more to myself, if I could acquire more, then literally I could be the captain of my own fate, have the captain of my own soul. And that is just not true. Because the word says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the only thing that remains is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know this is tough, but I got to talk to you young people, because literally at the tip of your fingers, you have the opportunity to do something dynamic and amazing in this generation. You literally have the opportunity to be used of God to correct so many evils that the enemy is trying to use to sabotage people's lives. And God is looking for some young people that will literally say, God, check me into the game. I want to be used by you. I want you to use my gifts, my talents, my abilities. I don't want wealth and money and all of these things to define who I am. I want to be defined in you, Jesus Christ, because if I'm defined in you, nothing that comes against me will be able to control me, because all of my faith and trust is in God Almighty. It's okay to clap. You know, people forget that God has literally made us conduits and given us wealth to steward, to share. In Proverbs, man, it says this: he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. God literally gives to us so we can become channels of blessings to people who are literally living in darkness and are lost. Now think about Chris, who just inboxed me over Facebook to say thank you, not to me, but a public thank you to God. And just like the song says, before I got up here, man, like, I want to lay it all down. And we have to live with this mentality and push back the cultural identity or a view of wealth where it's all about accumulation and amassing more things. We have to have this biblical view where it's all about having a wealthy relationship with our Father in heaven and understanding that whatever you give me, God, my gifts, my talents, my abilities, my resources, everything that you literally give me, I want you to use me as a channel so I can bless other people. And here it is, Paul, in his like older years of his life, is literally writing to this guy named Timothy. It's his mentee. He's literally giving him some instructions about responsibilities, about how he should be a leader in a church. And Timothy is a young man, and Paul is literally saying, Timothy, man, you have the opportunity to be a leader in your generation and to represent Jesus Christ in a way that you've never seen before. So when darkness comes in, yeah, clap. When darkness comes in, you'll be able to stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to push that back because I'm not being defined by the resources that are in my life. I'm being defined by God that's in heaven, and every resource in my life can become a blessing to other people around me so I can literally transform lives. Come on. And Paul is challenging Timothy. He's like, man, Timothy, you have to live with the right priorities. He's saying, man, godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't worry about what false teachers are saying, because people were coming into this church during this time and trying to teach that you had to acquire more, that you had to be more wealthier, that you had to be rich. That's how you get your social status. And Paul is literally telling the young Timothy, hey, live with the right priorities. Because if you pursue God, if you seek God, like you have that contentment, you will stand on solid rock and not on sinking sand. And I'm just afraid, guys, that many of us as young people, like we place our worth and our value on things that literally have the opportunity to sink us. And Paul is saying, that's not how you do it. You have to have the right priorities. Like, if I were to ask you, if I was to pull up a chair to you today and ask you, what were your priorities right now at this point in your life? Because you still can have priorities. I don't care how young you think you are. What are your priorities? What would you say? Would it be about becoming more accepted? Would it be about pursuing more status in school? Would it be about pursuing Christ? Being content with the very things that God has already blessed you with. And literally, he's also telling Timothy to not only live with the right priorities, but to live with a God purpose instead of selfish motivation. He's saying, Timothy, like literally, He says, man, you have the opportunity not to be on this path of distraction where it leads to destruction, but you have an opportunity to be rich in Jesus Christ and allow all of your life to be wrapped in Jesus, in the gospel, so you're living on purpose for God. How many of you in here tonight can honestly say, I know what God wants me to do with my life? And if we're honest, that can be a hard question right now. But I promise you and I assure you that if you were to pursue godliness and contentment and literally pursue a relationship with God, and you literally sit in awe of what God is wanting to do in your life. God sent his only begotten son to die for you on a cross, that no matter what you're going through currently, no matter what family you're in that may feel dysfunctional, no matter what you're faced with in school, that God literally sent his son to approve you, to set, stamp you and say, you are God's child. And it's time for our young people to literally start thinking about, am I living on purpose? Why am I here? God, what would you have me to do with my life? Where am I headed in this life? And you know what? When we live with this societal view of wealth and we're in pursuit of things and status and stuff, we're not worried about God's purposes. We're worried about our own selfish desires of our heart. But that's not how God intended this walk and journey for us. He wants us to be on his path, on his narrow path, walking towards him, so that you're placing your worth and value in eternal things, so that at the end of my life, everything that you've done up to that point will point back to God, so God will get the glory. I'm telling you, man, I remember sleeping on park benches. I remember having teachers tell me, you're never going to be nothing in life. I remember people telling me I was going to either be dead, locked up, or in jail. But let me tell you something. I got hooked up with a Savior named Jesus. And I don't think you guys understand. I got hooked up with the one who was able to overcome graves. I got hooked up with the one who was able to transform and restore everything that the enemy is trying to eat away in your life. I got hooked up with the one who never changes. I got hooked up with the one that no matter if my mom left me, my dad left me, my friends turned their backs on me, I got hooked up with the one that never changes, the one that stays the same. This is the Jesus that we're able to pursue so we can literally find our purposes in him. Just think, guys, if you do this last thing that Paul is urging Timothy to do, which is live with this sacrificial mindset and generosity. Like, literally, what if you gave up some privileges for a week? Children could be fed. What if you started to think how you could use your gifts and talents and abilities? Some homeless person who's literally sleeping on the ground in the cold of winter could literally be, their needs could be met, and they could hear the good news of the gospel and understand that God loves them no matter where they find themselves. What if you start living with this sacrificial mindset and living with generosity, that when God blesses you with things, you're looking for people in your school who's struggling with identity, who's struggling with depression, who's struggling with things that are stemming from their houses? Literally, God can change this world through you if we literally say, I'm going to sacrifice my life unto you, Lord, because I'm not trying to pursue stuff. I'm trying to pursue your purposes for my life so your kingdom can expand. What if you, that was you? What if that was you to say, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. I'm tired of trying to fit in. What if God is talking to you and say, young person, you are the leader. I'm calling you. I'm choosing you, not so you can have glory, but so that you can lay down your life and I can get glory through you. And tonight when I came, I'll be honest, It's like, man, I want to pray for some young people who are really serious about God. See, I know how youth ministry works. You can sometimes come in youth ministry and you can talk to your friends while the message is playing, or you can talk to your friends while the worship is going on, and you can just literally miss an opportunity for God to do something great in your life right now. And I was like, God, I want to pray for young people who are literally serious about pursuing you, literally young people who are wanting to live with a sacrificial mindset and live for Jesus and be generous with all of the privileges that they have. I want to pray for the purpose of those young people, because it's those young people who are going to push back darkness. And I want to invite some young people to come up and join me down here if you want to be prayed over. People who's like, God, man, I want you to reveal to me what it is that you want me to do with my life. I want you to show me how I can be used in ministry. I want you to show me how I can be used in my community to make a difference, even in my own family. Guys, do you understand? Me just following Jesus was the example that led my father, that I didn't have a relationship with, to Christ. How many of you are ready to say, God, I just want to pursue you. I want to pray for my purpose. That's you. I want you to come and just stand up where you are. If you want God to move in your life, if you want prayer, if you've been struggling with something and you want God to just move in your heart, if you want prayer for your family, if you want prayer for the direction of your life, I just want to pray over you guys. And if you could just extend your hands toward heaven, this is nothing weird. This is just a sign that, God, I'm surrendering because I want to open up my heart to you. And I would just want to pray for you guys. God, I just pray for these young people who are represented tonight. God, you know each of them by name. It says in your word that you know the very number of hairs upon their head. And God, we don't know what they came in dealing with, but God, you know. And God, I just want to pray for peace over every single individual in here tonight who's been tormented in their minds, who's been distracted, who's been pursuing things of this world just to fill a void. I pray that you would show that person that you love them unconditionally, that you sent your only son, Jesus Christ, to die on their behalf so they could be fully satisfied in you, because you are enough. You are enough for all of our baggage. You are enough for our shortcomings. You are enough for all of the dysfunction that's going on in our homes. You are enough when we feel misunderstood at school. You are enough when we don't know which way our lives are going. You are enough when we don't have any answers. God, you are enough. And I want to pray for these young people that you would deposit a seed into their hearts to let them know that you care for them, that you have a purpose for them, that they're yours, that you want to use them in this generation to make a difference. I don't know who I'm praying for, but tonight, God, I just pray even the ones that feel like misfits sometimes, that you would move in their hearts and just affirm them, just love them, just shower your grace upon them, and just let them know that they're not alone. That when they wake up or they stay up late at night or feel isolated by themselves, that you are there, that you are present. I give them a charge, God. I pray that you would charge them with wisdom. Surround them with people that will pour into their lives. Surround them with people that will literally call out what you see in them to help guide their path so they can be great for you. We love you and we thank you, and we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, because you are so deserving of it. It is in Christ's name we pray and ask it all. And the young people said, amen.